As we move into this next year, we speak Jesus, the only hope that we have, the only peace that we have, the only victory that we have, the only confidence that we have, the name of Jesus. So we thank you for that name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what the name of Jesus means. That Jesus is our strength. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our forgiveness. He's our healing. He's our righteousness. So we thank you in his name. Amen. Amen. So kiddos, you can head off to Sunday school. So we have turned the page into 2022, and it feels like yesterday I was standing up here saying the exact same thing about 2021. I remember I preached the first Sunday of the new year last year, and it seems like it was in no way a full year ago. This year has been just a whirlwind, it seems like. Am I the only one, or have you guys felt it as well? You know, I remember last year, you know, all the hopes and expectations of the new year, especially in our current reality, the current state of our world, and moving into 2021 and all of the hopes of what this next year was going to be. And as I think about those things, I think, okay, how close were they to coming true? Looking at them now, looking back at those hopes and expectations of 2021, how much disappointment is there? How many things were we hoping for that we were expecting that we look back and, not quite. It's not quite how the year worked itself out. I think one thing is we probably all probably hoped and expected that COVID would be a thing of the past, that these masks would be gone, that all the chairs would be back together, that we could all go to a coffee shop without masks and all sit down and enjoy a coffee or enjoy a meal together. Maybe you were hoping that some of the hits that you took through COVID would have resolved themselves. Maybe some financial hits or broken relationships or loneliness. Or maybe some of your hopes and expectations for 2021 had absolutely nothing to do with COVID, because let's be honest, we talk too much about COVID. Maybe your hopes and expectations were for restored relationships, relationships that were broken long ago. Maybe for delivery from sickness or breakthrough, healing, loved ones to come to know Jesus. As we think back on those hopes and dreams for 2021, how much disappointment is there? How many of those hopes didn't come about? How many of those plans, those expectations didn't become reality for us? I think if we're honest, there can be a lot of disappointment. Disappointment in other people. Disappointment in circumstances, disappointment in ourself, and maybe even disappointment in God. Now, we would never say this outright. We would never say that deep down we're disappointed that God didn't act a certain way, that he didn't provide in a certain way, that he didn't respond to a situation in a certain way. But deep down, are we disappointed that he didn't intervene when we thought he should? Are we disappointed that he didn't answer our prayers in the way that we hoped that he should? And at the very core of all of these things, at the very core of all of these disappointments is the question, what do I truly believe about God? What do you truly believe about God? Who do you believe that he really is? Because when we think about how we want him to act, how we, you know, what we want him to do, how we want him to intervene, really it's a question about who he is. We want him to act in a certain way. We want him to respond in a certain way, and that's based off of who he is, who we believe him to be. This is the most important question that every one of us has to answer. Who do we believe that God is? And it's the most important that we as a church have to answer is who do we say that God is? As Hinton Alliance Church, who do we proclaim God to be? In A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he says this. He says, always the most revealing thing about the church is her idea of God, just as her most significant message is what she says about him or leaves unsaid, for her silence is often more eloquent than her speech. So Hinton Alliance Church, who do we say that God is? When we gather together, when we proclaim this God that we serve, when we go out of this place and we talk with our neighbors, those that we come into contact with in our community, who do we say that God is? Who do we proclaim him to be? And this is what we're going to be looking at in this new series as we begin this new year. Who is God? What are his attributes? Who does he claim to be, and who do we believe him to be? We're going to be using A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy, as a little bit of a guide as we dive into Scripture and we look at together who does God reveal himself to be, and then ask the question, do we trust that? Do we truly believe that he is who he says he is in Scripture? But the first question we have to ask is why? Why is it so important to study who God is? Can't we just trust our experience? Can't we just trust our own thoughts? Well, that's where we're going to begin this morning, is why is it important to think rightly about God? Why is it important to really dive deep into Scripture and figure out who is this God that we say that we serve? Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 1. What I want us to see this morning is a progression that happens in our lives when we allow false thoughts about God to take root. It's a progression that we see here in Romans 1, and that if we're honest with ourselves, I think we all see in ourselves, in our own lives, when we allow false notions of who God is to take root and become what we hold on to. And this is a progression that we find is it's a progression from wrong thoughts about God, wrong beliefs about who he is, that then lead to wrong worship, which then leads to wrong living. And here's the thing about this, is that it takes a Spirit-empowered discernment to see this. It takes us being willing to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and open our hearts to what this progression actually looks like in our own life, because we are very good at deceiving ourselves. We are very good at lying to ourselves and thinking that we have it all under control. We can really easily cover up deep-rooted lies that we hold on to that then have a snowball effect in our lives. We can quickly allow circumstances and events and pain and heartache to bury these lies so deep that we don't even see that they're there. And so as we begin looking at this, let's ask the Spirit to help us. Father God, we thank you that you have promised your Spirit to those of us who have trusted in Christ. We thank you that you have promised that we are sealed with your Spirit. And when Jesus spoke of the Spirit, he gave this promise that he would lead us into all truth. And so, Father, we ask now that your Spirit, by your Spirit, you would lead us into all truth, that you would open our hearts and our minds to see this progression in our own life, to open our eyes to any wrong beliefs, any wrong thoughts that we have about you that's leading to wrong worship and wrong living. We need your guidance. We need your help. And so we ask for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So look with me at Romans chapter 1, We're going to start in verse 18 and read verse 18 to 25. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here's what I want us to do this morning. As we look at this passage, what I want us to do is walk through this progression step by step as we see it in Romans 1, this progression from wrong thoughts to wrong worship to wrong living. And then I want us to turn around and walk through it backwards, because the reality is it's really difficult for us to see the lies that we're believing, again, because we can quickly deceive ourselves. We can quickly convince ourselves that we know the truth, that we are believing the truth. It's a lot easier to see the wrong living. It's a lot easier to see the outward expression, the actions that we know are wrong that we're doing, the things that we partake in, the things that, you know, the way we respond that we know, oh, that wasn't right. It's easier to see those things. And so after we go through this in Scripture, seeing this progression, I want us to walk backwards and look at the actions in our life and then ask God to help us see, what am I worshiping? What am I valuing? What am I serving that's leading to these actions? And then what does that object of my worship reveal about a lie that I'm believing about who God is? So again, here's a progression. Wrong thoughts lead to wrong worship, lead to wrong living. This is how this passage in Romans 1 starts out. It's this reality of believing a lie, and the fact that believing a lie requires us to suppress the truth. Here's what we have to understand, is that we don't simply fall into falsehood. We don't simply trip and fall into believing a lie. But first, we have to suppress the truth. We have to suppress the truth of who God is before we believe a lie. And this is so clear here, and it talks about how who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. It says, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. God isn't some far-off God who has left us to find him on our own, but he has clearly revealed himself to us. It says that his invisible attributes have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Who God is, who he is, has been revealed to us. It's been revealed to mankind. And so it says they are without excuse. So this is what we have to wrestle with first, is that there is no excuse for believing a lie. To believe a lie, we have to first reject the truth. We have to first suppress the truth. And we're going to see how this plays itself out here in a few minutes. Because right now we're probably thinking, well, I don't actively decide, well, I'm going to reject who God is. We don't get up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to choose to not believe that God is in control. Or, you know, we don't wake up and, you know, watch the news and say, you know what, I'm going to stop believing that God is good. That's usually not how it happens. And so we may think, well, I don't really actively suppress the truth. But this is the reality of Scripture. It says we first suppress the truth and then we embrace the lies. And so we're going to come back to this as we go through this process backwards, but the first thing I want us to grasp here is this. We suppress the truth and embrace lies about who God is. When we reject truth, when we reject the truth of who God is, we begin embracing lies. We pick it up in verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we reject the truth about God, when we suppress the truth of who he is, we become futile in our thinking and we're enveloped in darkness. Our minds and our hearts become slaves to lies. And before we know it, we are held in bondage to darkness. And here's the worst part, is that we don't even realize it. We don't even see the lies that are holding us in bondage. Because it says, claiming to be wise, they became fools. We think we know what's true. We think we understand what truth is. We think we're living by the truth of who God is. But when we embrace lies, we become so clouded in darkness, we can't even see the lies that we believed on our own. Then we see the next step in this progression is when we embrace lies, when we become clouded in this darkness of deception, we embrace idolatry. We have to understand this. When we embrace lies, we reject the truth and embrace falsehood. And we replace the one true God with a God that we have concocted in our own minds and our own hearts. Look what it says in verse 23. It says, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Okay, well, isn't this going too far? Isn't this a bit extreme? Because I don't fall down and worship a statue of a bird. That's not part of my daily routine, and I don't think it's yours either. But listen to what Tozer says. Let us beware, lest we in our pride accept the erroneous notion that idolatry consists only in kneeling before visible objects of adoration. So let's not let our pride confuse us into thinking that idolatry only involves falling down and worshiping a statue, and that civilized peoples are therefore free from it. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. It begins in the mind and may be present where no overt act of worship has taken place. Embracing any thought about God that is not true of him is idolatry. Here's an example. I cannot stand up here and tell you that I love my wife and then go on and describe my wife as, 6'3", short black hair, contacts. Any of you know my wife? That's not my wife. And so I can't say that I love my wife and then proceed to describe my wife as somebody far different than who she actually is. When we embrace lies about God, when we describe God as being different than he actually is, it's a form of idolatry because we've replaced God with this idea of God that we've come up with on our own. The greatest tragedy that could happen as we gather together as a church and sing praises is that the God that we claim to serve would look down on us and instead of receiving the glory and praise would see our idolatrous hearts worshiping some idol that we've come up with in our own minds. When we allow these lies of who God is to take root in our hearts, and we come up with our own idea of who God is, we can quickly find ourselves worshiping a God who does not actually exist. And when we do that, when we accept this idol, when we accept this false God and we begin worshiping in it, this idolatry leads to a life in submission to the idol. As we worship this idol, our life is lived in submission to the idol. Listen to what it says, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore God gave them up and the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because we just read earlier on that their hearts were darkened. They believed lies, and so their hearts were held in bondage to the darkness. And so God gave them up to what the byproduct of those lies was, which was a life lived in bondage to the lies. This is sin. This is anything and everything that's not rooted in the goodness and the holiness of the one true God. And so we, instead of our lives being defined by the one who created us, by the one who gives us purpose and meaning, the one who defines what is good and perfect and true, our lives become defined by whatever idol we've created to worship. If we jump down to Romans chapter 1, down to verse 28, we see this expounded on even more. It says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." And just in case we think that this is talking about somebody else, it goes on in chapter 2, and it says, "Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things." We're guilty. We're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this spiraling progression of suppressing truth and embracing lies. Embracing lies about who God is, which then will lead to an embracing of an idol in our heart that we begin worshiping and that we begin serving. And then living in submission to whatever that idol is. Something I believe with all my heart is that we don't have a sin problem. We have a worship problem. Yes, we struggle with sin, we fight against sin, but at the root of it, at the base of it, isn't a problem with sin, it's a problem of worship. What are we worshiping? Who are we worshiping? What are we truly serving with our lives? And at the very foundation of it all is, what do we truly believe about God? Who do we truly believe that He is? Do we believe the truth of who He is, or have we allowed lies and deception to weasel their way in and take root? Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts. Wrong thinking leads to wrong worship, leads to wrong living. So who is God to you? What do you really believe about who God is? Is there any part of your life that is revealing something different? Here's now where I want to turn around and walk through this, moving the opposite direction. To look at our lives, to spend some time reflecting on the outward expressions of our lives and asking, is there anything in my life that isn't reflecting the God I claim to love, the God I claim to serve? And as we look at whatever that is, take some time to look at, okay, what am I worshiping? What am I valuing? What am I serving that is leading to that action? And then what does that show me about a lie that I am allowing to remain in my life? A lie that I'm believing about who God is? So let's walk through this together. I want to challenge you right now to think about your life and pick something. Something that is a habit, something that you know is wrong, but it just seems to happen, or you just seem to give into it again and again. Something that you know is wrong, but you still struggle with it. This past week, I did this, and the first thing that came to mind was angry outburst at my kids. When I don't feel like I'm being heard, when they're not listening over and over and they continue to not listen, that quick, angry outburst, not just the, you know, stern warning, but that angry outburst where there's yelling and there's tears, and then afterwards I'm like, I blew that one. This is something I've struggled with over the years, these angry outbursts, and something that I pray through a lot and I seek God a lot about. So what is it for you? What's that sin? Is it angry outbursts? Is it gossiping? Is it coveting? Is it lust? Is it a drug or is it alcohol, greed? What is it that you see in your life that's this recurring thing that you can't seem to stop? Do you have it? Now turn to your neighbor and tell, no, I'm just joking. Don't. So what does this reveal about wrong worship? Now, first, this can be really hard to discern because it's, how does this action connect to worship? So I want to right now pause and pray and ask again for God to lead and guide us. Father God, we recognize the sin in our life. We don't like it. We don't want it, but we recognize that this sin is rooted in a worship problem. And as we focus now on this one particular sin in our life, this one thing that we see recurring, happening again, that at some days it feels like we have no power against, please, by your Spirit, would you reveal to us what it is we're worshiping, what it is that we're serving in your place that's leading us to give in to this sin. And so we pause now for a minute and just ask for your Spirit to speak to us. As I reflected and listened for the Spirit's discernment this last week, I realized that I worshiped being seen and heard. The thought of me not being seen or not being heard, I hate it. When I don't get that, when I felt unheard by my kids, not seen, I responded in anger. I let them know that that is not okay to not hear me. So what is it for you? What is it that you value, that you worship? As you think about that sin, as you think about that outward expression, that wrong living, what is it that you're valuing? What is it that you put up on that pedestal? Is it intimacy? Is it rest? Is it accomplishment or recognition? What is it that you value? What is it that you worship? So as we think about that, what lie does that reveal that you're believing about God? What lie does that reveal that you're believing about God? Let's pray again. Father God, we come to you again right now and we ask for your discernment. This isn't easy stuff. This isn't easy things to grapple with. These aren't easy things for us to see. But as we've recognized the sin, as we've recognized those things that we're valuing, that we're worshiping, would you open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to see and comprehend what lie we may be believing about you? What lie have we held on to? Maybe have we buried over years and years that we've believed? And so right now we pause and we wait for your Spirit to speak to us. For me, the lie that I believed and that I struggle, it seems like year after year, still falling into, is the lie that God doesn't see me, that he doesn't hear me when I cry out to him. Now, I would never say that outright. I would never stand up in front of anybody and say, yeah, no, I don't believe that God actually hears me. I wouldn't say that. And that's why I think it's helpful at times and necessary to walk through this process backwards. Because our actions are, we can't argue with our actions. We can't argue with the fruit. I would never outright tell you I don't believe that God hears me, but as I stop and reflect, as I take account of my life and my actions and situations and allow the Spirit to open my eyes, I begin to see that I've inwardly embraced this lie far too often. I've inwardly embraced this lie. And as I reflect on this lie, I begin seeing and understanding how it is that I came to believe this lie. As I look back at things that happened to me as a kid and things I went through and where I felt completely unheard, completely not seen. In those moments, I allowed that lie from Satan to dig deep within me. God doesn't see you. God doesn't hear you. And so that lie then led to me worshiping and valuing being heard and seen by others. Because we were made to be known by God. But if I believe that God doesn't hear me, if I believe that God doesn't see me, then I need to fill that somewhere else. And so in those in my life, when I feel like they don't hear me or they don't see me, leads to the anger, leads to the outburst of, no, you will hear me, you will see me. So what's the lie that you've believed? Is it that God doesn't hear you? Is it the lie that God is waiting for you to perform or prove yourself? Is it the lie that God isn't close to you? That he doesn't really understand the struggle that you're facing? Or maybe it's a lie that God doesn't care. That he cares about other people, that he says he cares, but really he doesn't care about you. Is it the lie that he isn't powerful enough, that he isn't strong enough to deliver you from whatever it is you're facing? Do you have it? Now let's go to war. Because the lie has no power in the face of truth. Darkness cannot stand in the face of light. And we've been given the light of the world. We're told that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so we go to war against these lies from the enemy, against these lies about God that we can so quickly fall into. And we go to war with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I have to go to war every day with the truth that I serve a God who hears me, who sees me. A lot of times I go to war with Psalm 139. I want to share this with you. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. What lies do you need to wage war against? What lies do you need to take hold of the truth of Scripture, the truth of who God is, and wage war? We don't have to walk in defeat. We don't have to walk in disappointment. This is why it matters what we believe about God. This is why the most important question you'll ever answer is, who is God to you? Who do you believe God is? This is why for the next couple months, we're going to zero in and focus in on who God reveals himself to be in Scripture. Because it doesn't matter what we face, what struggle we face in this life. God is enough. God is faithful. And so as we turn the page into the year 2022, as we respond to situations and reality that could quickly lead to disappointment, as we look in situations in our life that could quickly lead to disappointment, who do we believe that God is? Do we trust him for who he says he is? Will we choose to have faith and trust that he is who he says he is, even when circumstances and situations seem to be telling us differently? Will we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Will we stand in the face of COVID and government restrictions and financial hardships and sickness and cancer and broken relationships? Will we stand in the face of it all and say, I trust in who God says he is? Will we go to war against the lie that God is not still on his throne? Will we go to war with the lie that he is not in control, that he is somehow caught off guard by the circumstances that plague our world around us? Will we do battle with the lie that he doesn't see us, that he doesn't know us, that he doesn't care for us and love us? Will we do battle against the lie that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't sufficient for us? Because I'll tell you, it is. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what circumstance you're facing, Jesus purchased victory for you on the cross. What he has done is enough. Who he is enough. Will we believe that? Will we trust that? Let's pray. God, you are holy and righteous. You are good. You are faithful. You are sovereign. You are in control. Every word you speak is truth. And we confess that we so quickly allow lies and deception to take root in our hearts. We so quickly allow circumstances, situations in life to convince us that you really aren't who you say you are. And even as we recognize this, we know that there's still those lies, that lie that you are not gracious, a lie that we can't be forgiven. But God, we hold on to the truth of who you are. We hold on to the truth of who you have said that you are. We hold on to the truth of who you proved that you were when you sacrificed Jesus on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that we no longer had to be slaves of darkness. We no longer had to be in bondage to sin. But we have been given a new life. We have been given freedom and victory. And so we pray, Father, as we enter into 2022, as we take some time to reflect on who you are, as we take time to reflect on our own lives and who we really deep down inside of us believe you to be, we thank you that you're gracious and loving. We thank you that you have promised us victory and that in light of all of this, you are still on your throne. We are your children. And we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And so we proclaim that. We will proclaim who you are in the face of the lies. In Jesus' name, amen.